This podcast is part of the Neverland Network, where faith meets video games, movies, and fun. Find more shows like this at neverlandpodcast.com.
From days long ago, from uncharted regions of the universe, comes a legend.
The dream that came through a million years, that lived on through all the tears.
It came here, the Fandom Nexus.
Fabulous secret powers were revealed to our host as he plugged in his microphone.
I have a podcast!
Here he is, your Spider-Pan, Jeremy.
Yes, I know it's been... at least a month, a couple of months since you've heard from me. It's been a very, very long time, and hopefully you've missed me. I would appreciate that if you actually missed having me around and you were looking for the show and it wasn't there and you're wondering, why? Where is Jeremy? Where is our Spider-Pan? Where is our Fandom Nexus? Where is our fun? And I am sorry that it kind of worked out that way. It's been, I don't want to say an adventure. Pardon me, it's early morning here on Tuesday, and I'm still sipping my coffee. With a zero sugar Harry Potter butterbeer, basically it's butterscotch creamer, into my coffee. Trying to help clear the throat, make sure I sound somewhat like myself. As we launch into the Fandom Nexus, and basically today, what I got going on is a little scratchy kind of sounding throat. I don't know, does that make me sound more cool? Like the early morning radio guy? I am going to kind of get caught up on everything that has been announced this year, all the things we're excited about, and a lot of celebrities that have passed away. We've had a lot of them, and I don't think I'm going to be able to get into everybody, but I grabbed a few that were of note. There's been a lot. February was a heck of a month for celebrities passing away, and so I tried to get a few of those, some different things that happened. With game announcements and some movie trailers. Because originally this was going to be back in January. It was going to be, well, here's what we're looking forward to in the new year. And I still want to kind of do that. Let's look forward to some things here in this new year. And also talk to you about how I'm going to get this show back on track a little bit more with a bit more focus. Making changes to how we're doing things with Patreon. And, of course, I will tell you about what's kind of been going on with me and why you haven't heard from me now in a couple of months. And so that's our show for today. So, you know, normally I start with like some host chatter, and let's do some fun stuff before we get to the more serious things. So what have I been watching? Well, now, one of the things I was watching, and it's probably among my trailers. I've got so many trailers, I don't even remember what I have here anymore. But we've got season two of the live action version of One Piece coming to Netflix very, very soon. And I'm excited to watch it. I enjoyed the first season, but I had thought, and, you know, my wife has told me that the anime is differently, you know, paced, and there's a lot of stuff, a lot of extra stuff in the anime that didn't get in the live action. And it seems the writer of the anime and the manga is the one who is behind the live action, but he's able to streamline and focus on the story better with the live action, because I've been trying to watch the anime, I know you guys, there's probably a lot of you out there that are big fans of Dragon Ball Z, but I struggled to ever get into Dragon Ball Z because I felt like most of the episodes were standing around talking about how powerful you were and how you were going to win the fight. And like, can we just get to the fight? And then the fight is just rapid fire, fist, you know. And that's what One Piece has felt like to me. And I just like, we're standing around talking about it. And like, the story is not going anywhere for maybe a couple episodes. And I'm just like, I'm kind of bored and I'm falling asleep. And I was like, maybe I should stick to the live action, but I want to see all the different things that happen in the anime. But I just, I don't know, I can't. Maybe part of the problem is some of the stuff I've been dealing with is it's situational depression. I do not suffer from a clinical depression or anything like that. Like our friend James Kennison over there at the That Story Show. He can't really control, you know, when he has episodes and everything, you know, he's clinical. So he's, you know, medication and therapy, that kind of thing. And anyone who listens to that show will be aware, you know, cause sometimes their show has to go on a hiatus because he's having problems with his depression is getting in his way and, you know, messing with his life again. So, mine was mainly situational. And, I don't know that I talked about this much when we were doing the Christmas Carol, but all right. So November 3rd, and that date lives for me in infamy. So that for those of you who have been with me a long time, know that in the course of this show, I went back to college and I finished my degree. I have a bachelor's of science in it's basically digital media production. It's a considered a communications degree. I did a lot of stuff in the communications department, but I split my focus between audio and video because I was like, well, I can do video and I can also do audio, but I wanted to work in radio. You know, doing this podcast has really kind of helped me focus. I wanted to work in radio, and I even here lately, I've been releasing clips, which you can find on the group. You can find on YouTube as shorts. I'll put them on Instagram under the Spider Pan. Also on Instagram and TikTok, both are under like Spider Pan. But I've been putting out clips of all the episodes. And one of the clips I talked about was like how I, you know, would like to work in radio and how I got started. And so, I mean, I was working in Cameron for a while, Cameron, Missouri. I was working in a classic rock station. COVID happened. I got to where eventually I was just only working 3 hours a day. I couldn't make a living off of that. And I couldn't really go out driving for Uber and Lyft. Due to like COVID restrictions were still kind of happening. It was really complicated. And I was like, I don't know if I want to deal with that. So what I ended up doing is I transferred over. And for 4 years, I worked at KQTV or KQ2 in St. Joseph, a television station. I was making ads for local businesses and even have a couple appearances because I was, you know, I was trying to help out with the Best of St. Joe program. And somebody needed to interview some people who are Best of St. Joe. So I just went and did it myself because I'm like, well, I'm used to interviewing people. I can just do this. I don't mind being on camera. So. And I have all that. If you go to Jeremy Shields voiceover. Yeah, I just gave my full name, which I usually don't do on the show, but other people out me anyway. But you can see like I got demo reels and all the stuff that I've worked on, you know, that kind of thing. I'm making a point to where when I sip my coffee, I'm going to make a lot of noise. So, you know, that's what I'm doing, right? Because I think I sometimes take a sip of something and it goes quiet and you're probably wondering, what's he doing? Well, this morning I'm drinking coffee. But anyway, so I worked there for 4 years. November 3rd has now become a day that lives in infamy for me. That is the day that they merged with the News Press Group and became one company. And a lot of us got let go because that's what happens in a merger. But they felt they would make more money together compared to how they were going apart. So that was the end of that. And you know, I guess part of my depression is being now an older white male, it seems like you can't get hired on anywhere where they're wanting to like maybe somebody younger and they're trying to be diverse. And so being a white person is not considered diverse. And I don't want to get on that rant. And, you know, and being older, it can be a little harder to get a position. So I've been struggling to get back into the field of where I've been working for the last 4 years or even the 4 years before that in radio. So it hasn't been worked out. In the course of February, I didn't lie down and take it. I mean, I sort of did. I sat on the couch watching the entire series of Chuck. But I was in the process of looking for a new position and also working on getting certified as a teacher, a substitute teacher in Missouri. So I started substitute teaching. I was finally able to begin the 19th was my first day substituting. It was a half day right before the kids were going to go on Christmas break. So I started substitute teaching. I've had some fun doing like lunch recess, which is only unfortunately half a day because they have a half day pay rate and a full day pay rate. And it's only half day. But I kind of liked doing the lunch and recess. And I got to, you know, hang around with the kids and talk to some of the kids during recess. And that was pretty fun in elementary. And, you know, working the lunch can be fun. So I kind of enjoyed doing that. It's like, you know, if I could do this and it would be full time, I probably would do it. They did have an open position, but it was going to only be like a part time half day. And I was like, well, I need something full time, you know, so. Well, February hit and they've been talking about this nasty, horrible flu that was running around and running rampant around the schools and around this area and maybe where you're at, too. Heather got it. And then I got it like a day after and I was laid out for 2 weeks. I had to cancel a lot of it because with how the substitute teaching works, I have an app that they list out things that are currently available where they need to substitute. And I had to start canceling out stuff that I'd already booked myself because I was like, oh, no, I can't talk. I'm just hacking and coughing. I wasn't sleeping. It was horrible. And when you're already suffering from a level of depression because I wasn't back where I wanted to be, I felt like, you know, everything I'd worked to from this podcast to going back to school and everything and the career I had started for myself was cut off and I couldn't get back to it. And that will keep you depressed. And I tried to push my way through it. I generally try to be a fairly positive person. I was trying to push my way through it. It wasn't quite working, you know. But I'm still feeling that depression. You could feel it. And it is like a weight that's pushing down in your chest. You know, it's the only way I could really feel like I could explain it. But yeah, I was, you know, there's someone substitute. I learned some things in substitute teaching that I was like, no, I'm not good at this part. So I don't want to do this. So I'm being more selective on what I do. So then as I was sick and starting recovery, I was like, I saw, okay, there's, you know, I don't want to out names or whatever, I guess, but there's a really good dude and he owns a car dealership business and it has several locations, kind of very south from me here in Kansas City. I live in Gladstone. It's a suburb of Kansas City. Now I'm really, you know, hey, as they'd say on that story show, stalkers, I'm really revealing a lot of information about myself. So I thought, well, you know, he posted to Facebook that he was going to be more involved now in his business because he kind of had stepped away for a little while, but he wanted to get more involved. And I was like, well, you know, I wouldn't mind working for him. He's a good guy. So I just kind of dropped a resume into their website, you know, not doing anything specific. And somebody saw that and thought, oh, hey, we'll be put him as a salesman. And I was like, well, I have tried to be various type of salespeople before. Over the phone, I've done telemarketing and have nightmares about that. I cringe about telemarketing and working on phones. And I've tried to be a farmer's insurance agent. And a lot of that was sitting through a list of leads that I had purchased and calling everybody like, oh, hey, you were looking for insurance. Well, I'd like to see if you'd come in. And I hated it. So I get in there and I'm like, OK, well, it's sales at the cars. Like, well, let me give this a try. I'll give everything a fair shot. Within a week, unfortunately, I knew I was like, no, this was a mistake. This is me going back to what I'm not good at and I really don't like doing because I didn't have any leads that were my own. And I was trying to generate leads by saying, OK, well, what's the car we have on the lot? And I tried to do it like my way. And I've been making videos and little ads for the different cars that were out on the lot. And it was kind of like, OK, well, that's something. And I put some stuff on Facebook Marketplace, got a lot of clicks on Facebook Marketplace, but that didn't land on anybody actually coming in to look at one of the cars that I was showcasing. So the traditional way of doing things is like, well, here's a car that's on the lot. Let's look at whoever has maybe ever bought one or likes those type of cars. And so we might not have contacted these people for like 10 years, but all right, let's give them a call or contact them. And that's like, it feels like a cold call, but then you're like, you know, I had someone say, I said, well, this isn't really spamming anyone because they are our customers. And I'm like, but it's been 10 years. So that's, you know, still a thing. And eventually what you landed on was they gave me a list of over 300 people because truck month was coming up. And these were people that, once again, hadn't bought their truck in like for 10 years I was going through and texting, emailing, calling all these people and, you know, not really getting much results. Some people would text back and I had some conversations over text, but it never really completed anything. Didn't manage to sell a few cars, but what I did sell is when people would come to the lot or they'd already been on the website, they picked something out and they called and I was the one that took the call and like, yeah, we want to come and test drive this with this particular car. And we think we want to buy it. Although there was one guy and his daughter was needing to buy a car and he was helping her out and they didn't really want to test drive. They just wanted to buy it and go. And I said, well, it's a good idea to test drive it because you might find out when you drive it that there's something weird, like there's a vibration or something we might notice that we might not be aware of, that there could be something that maybe we need to fix first. Because sometimes we don't, you know, we do an inspection when it gets in and we make sure everything looks to be okay, but there might be something that you can pass an inspection, but maybe there's something that would be a little off, you know. But anyways, I kind of knew within the first week, like this was a mistake, but I was determined, like, they pay as a monthly kind of thing. I was like, all right, let me finish out the month of February and earn my paycheck. Still struggle because our savings are gone. So we really kind of struggled to make an ends meet. We were living off credit cards there for a while. I got to the end of February. Now, I had started before the middle of the month. So I thought, OK, well, maybe they'll pay me because they didn't pay me anything in that first half of the month. And I thought, OK, well, I'll get like a first half of the month and the second half of the month. Maybe I'll get like a month's pay. Well, I didn't. I only got a second half of the month. Which is a little less than what I was making in K22, but it was nice to get that at the end of February. I tried to catch up on some stuff. I had like one day of subbing when I was recovering from the flu. I did go in and do a half day doing recess and lunch, which turned out to be a mistake because I was out in the cold and I was like, felt like I was starting to rehash my flu. So we are technically really still struggling even right now, but I've been way too depressed and everything that every time I think, oh man, I need to do that show, I'd get home or I'd be sitting here and like, I can't, because when you feel like you have that weight on your chest and whatever, and if I'm not in the right mood for it, it's going to come out in how the show's presented and it's just not going to be enjoyable. And I want to make sure you guys are having fun. And I'm sure this whole bit of the show has not been fun, but I just wanted to explain to you what's been going on. But we are still struggling. I actually have to go and figure out a way to get some money before I get another substitute check in, because we're going to be hundreds of dollars in a shortfall by the middle of the month. So I'm going to probably doing some some driving, but I've got a meeting today with a company called Z-Trip where I won't have to use my own vehicle to drive. So I'm going to go investigate that. I do have some substitute jobs lined up, and I actually had some fun yesterday. Let me sip my coffee. I went to a middle school and was teaching art class. And now it turns out with like middle schoolers, of course, their middle school is only 7th and 8th grade. But the girls liked me because I was nice. The boys liked me because I played video games. It's kind of how that kind of summed up. So anyway, we did have some fun. We did get our stuff done. I got a little crazy in some of the classes, but I think overall went pretty well. And I'm set to do some more work in the middle school, I think tomorrow, unless it turns out like Z-Trip. Because Z-Trip, they said something about having benefits. So I might be having to turn around and just do full time with Z-Trip. And then maybe I don't know how that's going to work. So I'm going to figure this out, but they'll pay weekly and I need to get money into our account like right away because we have more bills that are automatically coming out and I got to be prepared for it. So that's kind of where I'm at. We're still struggling. Life has been rough since November 3rd. The one nice benefit, I mean, it took our savings. I could have put money back in our savings because I had booked our trip to Silver Dollar City for a Christmas thing and at the end of November. And I thought, well, maybe I should cancel the trip and get the money back. But like Philip and even my wife are saying this, like, no, you've been wanting to do this for years. You probably need this. And it was a nice respite for a weekend, but it did cost us. And that's money that we haven't had when we've needed our savings. But it was nice to have it. If you've ever been to Silver Dollar City for Christmas, it's wonderful. If you haven't, I highly recommend it. I kind of like to go back. Maybe my situation in over the next year will be better and maybe I can do it again. That would be wonderful. Okay, so that's what what I've been watching and what's been going on. So, but in the meantime, around that, I have been playing some games. I was still trying to play Final Fantasy VIII. As you might know, I've kind of spent like the last year, I got the Final Fantasy Pixel Remastered set and I played and I platinumed the first six games as they were remastered. And seven, since I'd already kind of played, and I was thinking, well, maybe I could get the platinum on that one too, but I did mess up and I didn't get Barrett to show up on the date from the original seven. So I was like, well, I guess I'm not going to get the platinum on that one. That's okay, but I've played it before, but I want to play these other ones just so at least have played them. Eight, I have not been able to get into Final Fantasy VIII, and maybe it's because of the depression, but I start playing and I'm like, okay, well, let's move on. I want to play something else. And one of the things I went around to playing is, Philip had come over. We were going to play like WWE 2K25. We're getting close to 26. And I went ahead and bought myself a copy of 2K25. So I played that for a little bit. And then Philip, for basically really early birthday, gave me the money to buy the 2K26, which is for us, since we pre-ordered it on our PlayStation 5, we'll be getting this Friday. So I will probably be playing that. But in the meantime, I found also that the Star Wars Jedi Survivor was only like $10. So I've got that one because we do still have a little bit of our fun money thing that I have on a card. So I do have that. And I started playing with that as well. So that's what I've been playing, and playing games apparently has done well for me. And also, since I with my PlayStation Plus membership thing, I did have Stardew Valley sitting there, and I was like, you know what? I saw a video that we're at the 10-year anniversary, and version 1.7 is about to make some changes, and I haven't really played with it in a long time, so I thought, let me just play this, you know. It's a nice, relaxing, just kind of to do. So I've been playing with that a little bit too. Okay, but now it's time, I guess, to get into some news. So let's see. I believe I put it on this button, right?
Spanning the Disney and geek universe to bring you the best in comics, toys, movies, and entertainment. This is news from around Neverland.
All right, so the first thing I want to get into is that Planet Comic Con Kansas City is coming back March 27th and 29th. I will be there on Sunday with two panels with Dan Vietz, who is the head of the Thank You Walt Disney.org. They're the ones that, of course, trying to restore the Laugh-O-Gram Studios here. And I do panels with him every year. And mainly, I just kind of let him go. He's a font of knowledge. So we just let him go. But I'm going to do one with him. I've done some panels previously talking about the artists of Laugh-O-Gram and what became of them and where they went, because there's a lot of really neat. If you love animation from back in the day, you are going to enjoy this. So We're going to try to do that together, because I fear he might have more information. I need to get more coordinated with him. We've got approved for both of those panels. They're going to be back to back. So I need to coordinate and go through over like all of our information to make sure we're all prepared. I want to go through some of the guest list. Let me just hit a thing on, I mean, there's a lot of authors. Kevin J. Anderson, I see is coming, and I think I do actually have some of his books. I think he's written some stuff for some Star Wars Jedi Academy trilogy, written stuff in the Dune universe. One of these books, I'm looking at the cover that's next to his name. I think I have some of these books, so I might, depending upon what my monetary situation is back then, it'd be nice to go and maybe get a book signed, because Kevin J. Anderson, I think I've got some Spider-Man books he wrote. Oh my goodness, but that's pretty cool. But Kevin Altieri for working on Batman the Animated Series. We've got some Power Ranger actors. We've got Sean Astin. That's right. Samwise Gamgee himself. And of course, lots of things Sean Astin's been in. I did get to see him at the Kansas City Comic Con before that went under. I don't know what all happened there. Mark Bagley, Marvel artist, is coming along, and he's also become a DC cover artist. I actually got a bunch of stuff signed one time that he was in, because like one of the first issues of Spider-Man that I bought was when he had did. But Chris Claremont is coming. I believe I've seen him speak before. We got Keith David, Bruce Dickinson. That's right. We got a couple of people from Iron Maiden. Paul Dini is coming. You know, Paul Dini, you know, I mean, the man with the Batman, the Animated Series, and a lot of other different things. My brain is not quite working yet this morning, but there's other actors like from Lord of the Rings. We got Frodo coming, and I cannot think of his name in that air awful. I'm looking down the list like, where's Frodo? I know Frogies and Frodo. Where is he? Frank Grillo, who's been playing as Crossbones in the Marvel films. Let's see, Garrett Hudland, Erica Henningsen. There's Jason Isaacs. Okay, Jason Isaacs from the Harry Potter film playing Lucius Malfoy. A lot of other films you would have seen him in. Ernie Flippin' Hudson, all right? Winston Zeddemore himself. Ernie Hudson is coming. Yes. Famke Janssen is coming. You know, Jean Grey from the original X-Men films. And, of course, from James Bond, GoldenEye. I mean, come on, Carl Lumbee, which you see his face and you know who he is. But he's been the voice of John Jones, also known as the Martian Manhunter. He's been part of the MCU. And oh, my goodness, there's a lot of these people that you hear their names or you see their face. Gabriel Luna, who played Ghost Rider in the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. series. Priscilla Presley, that's right. She used to be married to Elvis and also was in the Naked Gun films. William Shatner's coming back. Lou Diamond Phillips. Yeah, La Bamba himself coming with Kiefer Sutherland. So we got at least two members from Young Guns. Oh, Alex Winter, that's right. From Bill and Ted. I wish Keanu Reeves was coming with him. Corey Taylor from Slipknot. NASA astronaut Elijah Wood. There he is. Elijah Wood is coming as well. And those are just like some of the movie and television guests. We got voice actors coming, of course. Sean Astin's done some voiceover. He's played Raphael. Some of these people I don't necessarily recognize, although I mentioned Keith David. Ian James Corlett is coming. He's got a lot of characters. I mean, Goku. He's also played on Inuyasha as the priest character. I cannot think of his name. My wife watches that show. I can't get into it. Let's see. Trying to find other. Well, Lou Diamond Phillips has done some voiceover, says, apparently. I'm not sure what. We have a voice, Jeff Stietzer, who's worked on the Halo series. I wonder if he's Master Chief. Kind of wonder. Lots of different. I mean, but it's going to be awesome. It usually is awesome. So you can get tickets now and come see me on Sunday with my pair of panels if you're still a Disney fan. Because you will enjoy what we do. But I'm pretty excited about that. OK, limited run games. Oh, my gosh. And I got a lot of extra news to be able to share from them. Hopefully I got video for all this stuff, because this is not the only thing I have from them. They have been just on a tear, man, of releasing some really cool stuff. Let me take a sip. Hard copies of this is sold out. But I think you can still, of course, get it digitally. Maybe they'll print some more. Jaws Retro Edition. Because we hit an anniversary for the Jaws Nintendo game. And so this is for Switch and PS5. It's listed as completely sold out. There's a standard edition and a bigger boat edition. The bigger boat edition is probably also sold out. Estimated ship date, October 1st through December 31st of 2026. So it's in production for this edition. But you can still get it digitally. And so what's neat about this, oh my goodness, look at all the fun things, a pixel art lamp, a game, a soundtrack CD, but this is the original Nintendo game, but also you have an option of playing an enhanced version. You can save anywhere, you can rewind, there's achievements and trophies, there's a music player, there's a gallery, that's the regular just retro edition, that's just for the game. The enhanced version has massively expanded multi-chapter adventure filled with nods and homages to all four Jaws films, new quests and objectives, new abilities and weapons for your boat and diver alike, more challenging enemies, more ways to deal with them, and a robust realization of the NES game's role-playing elements and inspirations. Lots of, oh my goodness sakes, they really went all out. And I looked at this like, you know, we used to have that Jaws game and I could beat it back. Like I said, it would have been the late 80s, early 90s, we had this game and I was not really a fan of the films. I still am not. I mean, I do appreciate the first one and I can watch it and kind of enjoy it, but I'm not like a fan of it, but I can enjoy the movie. And I end up watching it with Philip. But I don't know. Part of me is just like, oh, I would play that game again. But I used to use the NES Advantage where you could have the rapid fire and that really helped. And I don't know if you can turn on a rapid fire, but that would make my day to have a rapid fire on there. Hopefully I've got some more stuff because, I mean, limited run games. I don't think I've got it in here, but a Marvel Maximum Edition where we've got like finally. I mean, granted, I guess it came to the PS3 and I missed out. But X-Men, the arcade game. With a 6-player capability playing online with your friends. Also included in this Maximum collection is going to be the Captain America, the Avengers games. And it looks like even like some home versions of it, but the arcade version. I wish we were getting the Spider-Man arcade game and I wish we were getting X-Men Apocalypse, but apparently that's not in there, but you are going to get the Spider-Man and X-Men Arcade's Revenge and all its versions, Maximum Carnage, Separation Anxiety, and the old Silver Surfer NES game. Lots of all these great Marvel games with this set coming out, and I don't know if I have the video that I saw. I mean, IGN had a fan week and just had released video after video and stuff, but Limited Run Games is putting all this together. So this is probably old news, and the page is no longer existing for something from Laughing Place. There was like some toy fair. There was a toy fair in New York. And Marvel Legends had some Star Wars Disney figures, and I was going to share that with you, but I got another link for some like Star Wars Legos that were unveiled. Let's see. So Lego unveiled several new sets. This is from Fox Live now. All with Lego Smart Play technology at Toy Fair 2026, which I think I've been seeing some ads on YouTube about the Smart Play. I don't know everything about that. If you know, those of you who are big Lego fans better know all about it by now. Several new Star Wars sets were announced, including sets from the upcoming Mandalorian Grogu movie. Fans of Peanuts and Snoopy can show their love for iconic dog with Lego's new Peanuts Snoopy's Doghouse, which Lego is an expensive hobby, but if not for even just like Star Wars, getting the Snoopy set, I would be happy with that as well as some Peanuts and Snoopy. I love Peanuts and Snoopy. So I would definitely be interested in that. But I mean, lots of new games, things, and hopefully I have some video of some of this. I didn't quite get all the news things of it, but I was looking at some of this last week on Facebook. Just lots of great retro style games being released and sequels are announced. We're even getting some new Castlevania. Lots of, oh my goodness, this is going to be a great year to be a game if you like to do retro style games, which those of us listening to the show and creating this show, we are that target audience. All right, let me take a quick moment to talk about Dubby. If you go to NeverlandPodcast.com, that is the home of the Neverland Network of podcasts now, because we have several other shows in there. And by the way, have you noticed, it might have shown up in your podcast player, that the Fandom Nexus is now labeled a retro show. Oh, yeah. Because I needed to make sure I labeled the show so people understand what it is. That will help attract more people to the shows. Like, because the Fandom Nexus, maybe they didn't quite understand what the show was about. But if you put something good in the title, then, you know, it draws in people like, oh, I'm kind of into retro. And I'm going to be more focused on some things. We'll talk about that here in a little bit. But let me tell you a little bit about Dubby. If you are playing a lot of games like we've been talking about and you need some energy and you don't want the jitters, you don't want a bunch of caffeine, Dubby has drink mixes. You just mix it with water. You can have bottles and everything over there. And if you happen to use my link right there on the website, it's a giant Dubby logo. You can get some discount. And I think you can even enter a discount code, which the discount code is Neverland. So use that and get yourself some fun stuff to drink. Lots of different flavors available. That is Dubby. Now, before I go to the trailer park. All right, so I brought something up just like a little bit ago that I have some plans for the future, right? So I want to get more focused on some of the retro stuff, but I was like, man, there's so many different TV shows, so many different movies. I'm like, well, golly, what should I cover? I don't know. And I thought, and this will even bring back some of our Disney fans, because I'm going to go back in time. And, you know, if stuff we watched when we were kids that made a difference, even if it's an old movie. So I'm going to start in our next show. I'm going to talk Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. Now, granted, I didn't see this until I was an adult, but a lot of you probably saw it when you were young. And this movie has meant something to you. So we're going to talk about that movie, its production, share some memories of watching it, that kind of thing. And I'll try to get some guests on. I want to talk to Paul J. Powers of the Retro Rewind podcast, because he's a big Disney animation fan. And I think he would have a lot of fun. And maybe we can get Eric on here. I got to coordinate times and find maybe where I can get everybody on here. So that is the plan. But now patrons, people who go to patreon.com, I have two different levels. On one level, you're going to be able to vote on some stuff of what we want to talk about next. Otherwise, I'm probably going to go a slightly chronological order, because I'm planning on talking about The Wizard of Oz, because I swear that movie was on every Thanksgiving and I watched it every year. So I know that had an impact on our childhood. So we're going to talk about that movie, but we're going to talk about some TV series, even stuff that was syndicated, like Andy Griffith, maybe Leave It to Beaver. I was debating Leave It to Beaver. I don't know how much of an impact that had, but I remember watching it in syndication. But I mean, there were shows we watched on syndication when we were sick and we'd be laying there on our bed at home with a cold. We would watch it on TV. And then, we'd watch The Price is Right, you know, when we were sick, just sitting there watching TV while we were coughing our lungs out or trying not to throw up, that kind of thing. So, I mean, there's stuff we watched when we were ill or over the summers. We would watch old shows. I'm going to go and I might not remember and think of everything. So the top tier level on Patreon will be people who can throw suggestions of stuff that they really liked. And I'm working on getting that all set up, but I'm going to make it worth it more, again, because really you can avoid ads other than me talking about Dubby, because it's just something I'm talking in the show. But like the ads that get placed in the show, in the middle of the show, beginning, end of the show, you can avoid all that, of course, on Patreon. But now, paid membership on Patreon will get you the podcast on Wednesday, and everybody else is going to have to go wait till Sunday, because I don't usually cover news anymore, except for if there's just stuff we're exciting about. So I'm not trying to keep current and ahead of the game on news. I just want to be able to have fun and talk about some of the stuff and be excited about it with you. So Wednesdays on Patreon, you'll have the episodes. Everybody else will wait until Sunday to get that same episode. So I'm making it more valuable to become a patron, and I could really use it right now. I mean, I get a little bit of something from having the ads in there, but I could really use patrons to jump in there. I think I've even got some links now. I found out with Red Circle that I could put a donor link. So if you just want to do a one-time donation just because you want to help me out with stuff and help cover the costs of this show, and or know that, you know, hey, wow, Jeremy's had a rough couple of months, maybe I can help him. There are ways you can do that. So that's all available to you. But yeah, I'm trying to make it more fun and exciting to be a patron. And I'm learning that we can have like little chat areas where we can talk if we're Patreons. And of course, I can make exclusive videos and stuff in there. And I'll, you know, probably do stuff like that that maybe we won't tell the regular people who just listen to the regular show are not going to know about. Uh-huh. So yeah, I'm going to try to have a lot more fun with that. I can chat with people in there, and I should probably use Discord a lot more, but I haven't really used it. But I thought, well, hey, Patreon is a good option for, you know, and that's where I think maybe I can have access to where people who are a certain tier maybe can put in suggestions. I need to figure out how to make that work and then see if I can create some polls that everybody can participate in to say, what would you like me to cover next time or in the near future? So I can get a ranking of like, okay, this is what you guys are excited about, so let's talk about this one, so I can start doing show prep. But okay, let's go to the trailer park.
Mama! Another gator got in the house.
Another gator? Give me that shovel. Come here.
Ooh. Get him, Mom. Get that gator.
The Neverland Trailer Park.
And it's going to come up here. We would play trailer for stuff where I'm kind of excited about for this year, but I just looked to my right where I have a Masters of the Universe calendar I managed to find, and I have not flipped up to March yet. It's still got the February picture, but it's kind of at a distance. I'd have to stand up and I'd have to stop doing what I'm doing. So I will flip that calendar when I'm done with the show. But let's get to the first link I have here. Now, this is something, you know, is coming already.
You managed to get most of it on the paper this time. It's a good job, buddy. Color me, I'm color, baby.
Color me. All right, I got to cut the sound off because they started playing music on there. But for those of you who hadn't seen this, this has been a while, but Supergirl, we've got like a teaser trailer for that one, which... I mean, this is a different Supergirl, I think, than what we're used to seeing. But this is a more modern take on Supergirl of how she's been in the comics. And it's based on a particular comic series where she goes and she helps out on a planet where maybe she's not as powerful, because what she's doing, she's very depressed about the loss of Krypton because she remembers it. So she goes to other planets where she's a bit more normal. And so she can actually get herself drunk. And we kind of met her at the end of the Superman film, and I really enjoyed it. And so I'm looking forward to see what we do with Supergirl. So that is coming soon. Something that I do see some stuff that I'm not going to be talking about here. Of course, there's Mortal Kombat 2. It's going to be an R-rated, very violent movie. But some of you are probably excited about that. And part of me kind of wants to see it, just to see, although it took a second movie to get to the actual tournament. So I'm like, I don't know. And there is some other things that I don't know that I've got the trailer for. But we did get to see a look on Lego Batman Legacy of the Dark Knight, which is not a movie. It's a game. And I got, I think, some game trailers in here, too. I'm very interested, of course, in a Lego Batman Legacy game anyway. But they showed kind of a recreation of the 1989 Joker going into the Fugelheim Museum, which was really, really cool. So, well, oh my goodness, there's actually a season two of The Last Airbender series on Netflix. I didn't like that at all. And hopefully I do have something for the Spider-Noir with Nicolas Cage. Hopefully I do have that coming up on my list of trailers. I don't remember everything that I've got here, but that's, you know, stuff that's coming up that, you know, I'm interested in checking out as we go into the year. All right, let's see what's the next thing I have on my list. I don't think there's going to be a lot of dialogue in this one, but now and this isn't really a new thing because we've been seeing these. But Steve Rogers will return Avengers Doomsday in theaters December 18th, 2026. Now, it's coming, of course, late in the year. But we've been seeing lots of different trailers and teasers for this. And I want to see what they have to offer. I mean, it's kind of weird having, you know, Robert Downey Jr. playing Dr. Doom. I'm kind of wondering how that's going to work. But we've seen some connection over into the Fantastic Four and stuff like that. So it's definitely something I think I'm looking forward to. I want to see what's going on with this, but the trailer doesn't really have dialogue. It's just music, and we're looking at Steve Rogers and a baby. And some people have speculated these babies, because Thor has a child, although it's not a baby. But we're wondering if that's going to be a thing. And in fact, speaking of Thor, I mean, I've got that one in here, too. I think this has dialogue.
Father, all my life, I have answered every call. To honor, duty, to war. But now fate has given me something I never sought. A child. A life untouched by the storm. Lend me the strength of the old fathers. So that I may fight once more, defeat one more enemy, and return home to her. Not as a warrior, but as warmth. To teach her not battle, but stillness. The kind I never knew. Please, Father, heed my words.
Now, what I kind of like about that is, if you've played the newer God of War games, it reminds me of that, and I swear they were doing that on purpose. Right. I mean, because he's trying to find some peace and get past his warrior, you know, get through his warrior past or whatever and have time with his child, which is very reminiscent of the God of War games. And we've got a God of War series that's in the works right now, too. I don't know if I've got the trailer, but of course, the X-Men being brought back and we've got original cast. And it looks like we've got costumes out of the 90s. Something else on Light Gaming at that I don't think I have on my list, but Dissidia Duelum for Final Fantasy, mainly a mobile game, but it is available on Steam. And there's free to play versions of that. That is, I think, this week will be out. I'm not sure all the details on that game. I don't know if I've got the trailer for Toy Story 5. I don't know if I'm looking forward to that because we could have stopped at 3 and I've been fine. Yeah, here's the X-Men mode. I think I can move past some of this. A movie called Solo Mio that already came out. I kind of wanted to see that. I didn't get a chance to because I was broke. Here's something, though, I just stumbled upon that's coming this year that this looks really funny. This stars Hugh Jackman. It's called The Sheep Detectives. Take a listen to this.
If there's one secret to happiness in my life, it's taking care of the kindest creatures on Earth.
Sheep, I want you to meet my flock. When I wake up, well, I know I'm gonna be.
I keep them well fed, well groomed. And each day, I read out loud to them mysteries, whodunits.
I know who the killer was.
I like to pretend that they follow along,
but they're only sheep.
Ah! Why would he stop there?
He was just about to say who the killer was.
This is torture. It was the maid, right?
When I wake up.
Wake up! Everybody, wake up!
We found George on the grass, and he's not moving.
What?
Lily, tell us what to do.
Our shepherd was murdered. And we shall solve the crime. George was visited by someone he knew well enough to offer a drink.
Not much of a story for you, I'm afraid.
Unless there's anything out of the ordinary.
The policeman is completely hopeless. We need to help him.
You think you're brave enough to leave home?
We're not scared.
What is that?
I think it's a rod.
But what is it made of?
Well, not grass, I can tell you that.
Are you coming?
For George?
For George.
Officer Derry, I am George Hardy's lawyer. He wrote a will.
In the nighttime stories, the people in the will are always the suspects.
That man had nothing.
Well, actually, there is $30 million.
And we have our motive. We need to look for clues.
Stand back.
I am, after all, a sheep detective.
Who killed George? What are they hiding?
What if I can't solve it?
I've read you dozens of these stories. They follow very simple rules.
Look, a clue.
Every time something happens with this case.
That's my hat.
There they are. A clue.
Thank you all.
Sheep can do things. In fact, we can do anything.
I want to bash it. I want to bash it so bad.
What's with them?
Guys, I may be inside a clue. Ow!
So that's coming May the 8th. The Sheep Detectives. When I saw that the trailer existed, I was like, what in the world with the Sheep Detectives? And I watched it and I was like, oh, this is cute. This is nice. It's Hugh Jackman and his sheep. And then all of a sudden the sheep start talking. And of course, we don't understand what the sheep are saying as humans. When they're talking to a human, it's just bah. But the sheep, you know, when they're communicating with each other, we get to hear them talking like kind of like Babe. And I tell you what. Pardon me, I was pausing to burp there. I didn't want to get the burp sound, but it cracked me up and I showed it to my wife. I said, I got to see this. Somebody in the comments on YouTube said this is the closest we're going to get to a Shaun the Sheep live action movie. And I love it. And this is even like an all-star cast. Even Patrick Stewart is in here. Let's see. Hugh Jackman, Nicholas Braun, Nicholas Galadzine. I'm sorry. Molly Gordon with Hong Chau and Emma Thompson, Julia Louis-Dreyfus, Brian Cranston, Chris O'Dowd, Regina Hall, Patrick Stewart, Bella Ramsey, and Rhys Darby. I am so looking forward to this. This is from Amazon MGM Studios. This I'm so excited for. It looks just silly and fun and wholesome, and I need that so much in my life. Just something fun about a bunch of sheep trying to solve the murder of their beloved shepherd because he was reading, of course, detective stories to them. And I wonder if they ever get to find out the book, because he doesn't finish reading the book that day. And I hope that's not the day that he died, so they never get to find out the resolution of the book. But also, okay, so we do have Toy Story 5.
Do you, Forky, to Karen Beverly to be your beloved bride?
Yay! Ah, I now pronounce you husband and knife. Who poisoned the maid of honor?
Bonnie, there's a package for you.
Oh, thank you, thank you.
Hi there, I'm Lilypad. Let's play.
Oh, extinction, not again.
Bonnie, screen time's over now.
Okay.
I want to talk to you, Device.
Please, call me Lily.
Me and the toys have been working all summer to try and get Bonnie to make friends.
Yeah.
But then you had to ruin
it.
You're not even listening to me.
I'm always listening.
See?
Now look here. Me and the toys have been working all summer.
Now in Spanish.
What?
Yeah, I got dibs on behind the dresser.
Woody.
Yes,
Jesse? Hello?
Is it as bad out there for toys as they say it is?
We're finding more abandoned toys each day.
We're down!
Tex invaded our house, too.
I don't know, Jesse. Toys are for play, but tech is...
It's for everything.
I'm losing Bonnie to this device.
You got a family.
Woody!
Came here as fast as I could.
Why are you wearing a dress, Woody?
It's called a poncho, Forky.
Oh! Someone needs a brown marker.
Halt! Who goes there?
Whoa, whoa, whoa! I come in peace?
It's been too long, cowboy.
What are you, some sort of old man toy?
What?
She thinks you're old because you're bald, Woody.
Bonnie needs help from someone at least from the same century. So long, toys.
We're gonna need backup.
She's getting away, boss!
Our mission on this planet is to make a child happy.
You just remember what your past is.
Bonnie still needs us. Come on, Bullseye!
Buzz, you stay here. I'm going with them.
You don't think I can do it?
Yes, no!
Nice poncho.
It's good to see them fighting again.
It sure is.
Okay, so, you know, I just realized I haven't actually watched this trailer yet. You know what? I was kind of wondering, it's like, well, you know, because we got an almost a natural progression that Andy was aging along, and I appreciated that. And now I thought, I'd like to see Bonnie age up and see things change. But I guess they've kind of done that before where she ages too old to want to have her toys, you know, so I guess we've done that before. But this is very timely. With electronics kind of taking over for toys, this has been going on for a long time. And now most of the toys being purchased that I see are collectors like me. And I have lots of toys here. And I've become like the guy in Toy Story 2 where I don't really play with them. And not all of them are out of boxes. Some of them are. And I do like to kind of handle. Sometimes it just feels good to kind of handle and adjust them and just appreciate them and look at them. And I got like 7 Aerith figures over here on my desk with a Spider-Man figure cuddling up to one of them, you know. Because that's kind of like Heather and I, that kind of thing. But I mean, I collect and I enjoy having them and looking at them and letting them, you know, feed my nostalgia and everything. But kids are playing with their phones and their devices and stuff and not enjoying toys and sometimes not even making friends the same way. Although, you know, substituting in school, you know, kids will talk to each other, but even in schools, they have a laptop and they do everything on a laptop. You know, they don't have to carry books. They really don't have to use their lockers because they're not putting any books or anything in there. Everything is on a laptop. And when you substitute teach, you know, it's like the instructor's like, okay, on Google Classroom, you'll go and have them do this, this, and this, and this. And that happens a lot. And sometimes I get to present a video and kind of talk to them and everything or try to help them with a project. But everything is on a device now. These new generations are like they're kind of I feel like they're missing something because even out here in my neighborhood, and I know there's some kids in this neighborhood, I don't see them out playing that often. And I remember when I was a kid, you know, I was never athletic, but I was out using my imagination. Me and my friends would go out and we'd be having adventures. My wiffle ball bat was a sword. And, you know, we'd go out and we'd play in adventures, fighting enemies and all this kind of stuff, you know. I don't see kids doing that. And so having a film kind of address this. I mean, adults, we already know it. We see it. But maybe kids will watch this and stop and think, you know. I mean, granted, you could look at this. Oh, this is a toy market finding a way to sell toys and Pixar trying to make money. But now that I've actually gotten a chance to see this trailer with the sound and the audio. OK, now I'm in for Toy Story 5. I'm in. I want to watch this more than I want to watch Hoppy or whatever that's coming out because I've even heard that in the trailer they make the joke that this is no, this is not Avatar. I'm like, no, this is Avatar. And they're saying it's the funniest Pixar movie, but I'm out. I mean, Pixar hasn't gotten me excited about anything for a while. Although now looking at this trailer for Toy Story 5, I'm like, yeah, okay. I honestly, though, I haven't been excited for a Pixar or a Disney film in a while for like animated. Everything's just kind of like, eh. And that's one of the reasons why we've shifted away from doing Disney coverage. But this looks good. Mandalorian Grogu, of course, when I saw some early teasers and even the Super Bowl ad was weird. It looked cheesy the way they're doing stuff. And I was like, I don't know about this. But we did get another full trailer. And I think they may have gotten my attention. So
the buttons. I can use some information.
Whoa, for this price, I'll tell you whatever you want.
I'm looking for a hut.
Closed for the night. Thank you.
Gangsters, war criminals.
Long live the Empire.
We'll take out every bad guy in your deck of cards.
This isn't about revenge. It's about preventing another war.
Strap in.
You will suffer. And then it will be his turn.
Before going into harm's way, check your armor. The kid will live centuries beyond me. I won't always be around to protect him.
Are you scared? You should be.
Do we run? Or do we fight?
I like this kid.
What are you waiting for? Save the rest for after dinner.
Okay, so this is May 22nd, and I'm genuinely kind of looking forward to it now. It looked kind of cool. So, yes, Mandalorian Grogu right in time for my birthday. So, a little early for my birthday. But, you know, it's a good Star Wars kind of weekend. May 22nd, you know, feels like summer movie vibes. So, you know what? I'm curious. Now, here's something I have not looked at, but let's take a look at it. This is Star Wars Maul Shadow Lord, an official teaser.
Times have changed. I will show you the galaxy for what it truly is. See things from a new perspective.
Is this what our future holds? Always running.
I invite you to look more closely.
What are we dealing with?
Good question. And I offer you an opportunity. We have all been made to suffer. We survive. But do not live. The Emperor wants you dead. Chains can be broken.
Hang on!
And empires can be shattered.
So this is coming in April the 6th on Disney Plus. Now, unfortunately, I had to shut off my Disney Plus account because I couldn't afford it to. So I haven't even seen the new Muppet Show thing, and I'll save my opinions until I guess I get a chance to watch it. Well, I need to kind of start wrapping the trailer park up. There's so much stuff we're looking at. There's even something Star Wars Fate of the Old Republic, which I think is a game. There's the Hopper's official trailer. I really don't want to watch that. But of course, I'm excited for this one, and I'm sure we've all seen it. Masters of the Universe. Here we go.
All that stuff that only exists in legends and bedtime stories. Talking tigers, spaceships, and magic swords that can make a man as mighty as a god. Where I come from, that stuff is real.
Why did you send me away?
I wanted you to be safe. So I sent you to a place I knew that they'd never find you. There's...
this obsession with nerd stuff and sword things, it's not a good look for human resources.
I know it sounds crazy, but that sword is gonna show me the way home.
Sir, you can't do that.
Don't worry, the sword's mine.
Hang on, it's about to get weird.
What am I supposed to do?
Take the sword. You protect them.
Dialogue at this point. Hasn't been dialogue through most of that anyway. June 5th, though, Masters of the Universe. I mean, I could show more trailers like Spider Noir and stuff like that because I'm excited for that one. That looks pretty awesome. I don't know if I want to watch it in color or in black and white yet. I haven't decided. I might watch it twice over. Super Mario Galaxy, of course, that looks fun. But with Masters of the Universe, I do have a few like weird nitpicks. Like, I love Idris Elba. But why isn't he playing Skeletor instead of Jared Leto? Now, Jared Leto may surprise us. He might be an amazing Skeletor. But I mean, it seems to me they were trying to cast some black actors into the film. But there are black characters. I mean, Clapton and Clampchamp. Why, you know, we could have gotten him. And there are characters that you can have anybody play, like Trapjaw or Beastman. And, you know, characters that are like interesting. You know, they're not like normally white people or whatever. You could have black actors play a lot of these different characters, but what they've done is they swapped out Triclops. And I'm like, well, why did you do that? You could have had some black actors playing a lot of different characters that would have worked just fine. That would have been really cool. Even maybe could have voiced a Roboto or even Stratos. I think you could get away with Stratos being played by a black actor, and it'd been awesome. But I'd love to. Idris Elba would have been a fantastic Skeletor. Because he's got that presence and that voice. He'd have been cool Skeletor. I would have loved to have seen that. But I think he's going to be a cool man at arms. I just don't know what it's like. I feel like we race swap just for the sake of race swapping sometimes in Hollywood. And it's even like Roboto. And you can kind of get away with this with Roboto. But Roboto is being voiced by a woman. Which I was like, well, that's odd. But I guess you can kind of get away with it because it's a robot. You know, so like, okay, you know, it's not what we're, you know, used to or expect, you know, but, you know, we could go with that. And I haven't seen anything about Merman yet at this point, but we've gotten to look at some toys. But, you know, I am still excited, even though there's some weird Hollywoodness going on with some race swapping things. And I'm like, well, don't do it just for the sake of doing it. You know, have a good reason for it. So it kind of bugs me when I see that because I don't feel like they're doing it for the right ways. But, you know, if you want to be able to cast some black actors, there are characters that you could do that doesn't matter what the race or anything or the color or the appearance of an actor, because they'll be hidden behind like makeup and you could voice them and they could maybe even I'm going to say computer capture. That's not the motion capture. They can motion cap and voice characters. And you could have a lot of great actors who have great voices and stuff. Pardon me. Goodness. I'm drinking a Pepsi here because I finished my coffee. I'm sorry. But there's a lot of things they could have done, but I'm still very excited about this. So because it's He-Man and it looks like they really put the effort in, and the guy who directed this did Bumblebee, and I really liked Bumblebee, and it did kind of patch into that old retro style of Transformers. So I have high hopes for this and a lot of other things that I didn't gather any on anything like this. There's a lot of movies on the slate, but I'm not going to get in there. A lot of new games coming out. We actually just this week, or I guess it was maybe last Friday, Resident Evil Requiem or Resident Evil 9 was released. I'm excited to be able to get my hands on that one, but it's going to be a while because I got to have money to get something that's new. But there's a lot of exciting things. But we're going to turn the corner here at the first half of the show. And when we come back from the this break, we're going to talk about some actors who have passed away who have meant something to us. So stay tuned.
He-Man and the Masters of the Universe will be back right after these messages.
Are you a fan of Adventures in Odyssey, Lamplighter Theater, or Jonathan Park? Want to join other fans for discussions or behind-the-scenes info about these shows? Or maybe you're looking for more great audio drama to listen to with your family. Do you enjoy hearing exclusive interviews with the cast and crew of your favorite shows? Then Audio Theater Central is the podcast for you. I'm J.D. Sutter. Since 2010, Audio Theater Central has been exploring the family-friendly audio drama world through news, reviews, and interviews. Join me and a rotating cast of co-hosts each month for another episode featuring the latest updates, in-depth reviews of new releases, and conversations with the actors, writers, directors, sound designers, and composers who create your favorite audio dramas. And maybe we'll introduce you to some great shows you've never heard of before. Find us at audiotheatercentral.com or in your favorite podcast app. That's audiotheatercentral.com.
And now back to He-Man and the Masters of the Universe.
Okay, so now let's go over a few celebrity deaths of people that probably meant something to us as we were growing up or as an adult or at some point they've meant something to us. And there's more that I can mention that I haven't put on my list here. I just wanted to get a few of them together. I think if I did everybody that passed away in February, I'd be here for another hour. And this is already an hour long show. So let's try to get this done in a shorter time. First one on my list, I'm going probably almost in a way of importance of like how. You know what level? But not really. Let's not worry about that. Tom Noonan. So he was a towering presence, both physically. He was 6'5", and creatively, Tom Noonan had built a career on unforgettable, often unsettling performances. Some of the notable roles: Francis Dolarhyde in Manhunter. He had a performance as the Tooth Fairy serial killer, and is apparently one of the most haunting portrayals in a crime thriller in history. That really, you know, made him stand out. RoboCop 2, he was the cold, calculating villain in the cyberpunk, Kane. You remember him? He was like this drug dealer thing that he was like a main villain, and then when he was supposedly dead, they'd kept him alive and put him in a machine. Like, that was a good idea. In Pan's Labyrinth, he was simply known as the Pale Man. He was a terrifying creature with eyes in his hands. Pure nightmare fuel for that one. Yeah, Tom Noonan in Last Action Hero was like, I don't want to say he was like the main villain, because the previous information and research gave me the wrong information. Like, he wasn't the guy with the glass eye. That was like a main villain, but he was, and I think we see him in like a previous movie that Arnold Schwarzenegger's character had been in or whatever. I forgot what it was, but he was this big, tall axe murderer that had killed like Arnold Schwarzenegger's character's kid or something, and it's weird, because Arnold Schwarzenegger kind of plays himself a little bit and at times of this. But he's the one that also has the main character kid hostage right at the end. He's this big, lumbering, scaring axe murderer guy. So that was Tom Noonan. And I don't know why my previous. You always got to double check some stuff when you try to collect some information, because, he was not the guy with a glass eye. Francis Dolarhyde. Hopefully this is accurate. Well, that's I think we already covered that one. Let me go through Buffy the Vampire Slayer episode Hush. He was a character known as the Gentleman, had reoccurring roles in Damages and 12 Monkeys. He was an accomplished playwright and director known for bringing depth and humanity even to those villainous roles and being very scary, and frequently collaborated in indie cinema circles. He was born in 1951, known for his intense, unsettling performances. And one of my favorite ones is actually where in Monster Squad, he played the Frankenstein monster. Well, they just called him Frank, but he was really good at that. I believe he even got to say bogus. You know, he had just a few lines, but when you're that tall, you know, of course you don't have to be that tall when you're dealing with kids, but he was 6'5", so it made him a really good, that's probably one of my favorite ones that he did. but he was often cast as quiet, cerebral villains and morally complex figures. He directed an indie film called What Happened Was, and it won a grand jury surprise at Sundance. So his role in Manhunter actually predates Anthony Hopkins' Hannibal era and the film that helped define the psychological serial killer genre on screen. Hush remains one of TV's most daring horror episodes, and he barely speaks in it. It's one of those that guy actors whose presence elevates genre storytelling instantly. He was a true character actor whose presence elevates any project instantly. When you see him, he was just, he was a presence on screen. Okay, so now this one, this one's a big one. Catherine O'Hara. Goodness, you know, Kate McAllister in Home Alone and Home Alone 2, Lost in New York, Sally in The Nightmare Before Christmas, Delia Dietz in the Beetlejuice series, Moira Rose in A Certain Creek. It's a performance that actually earned her an Emmy and cemented her as modern comedy icon. I would have skipped over this because I can't say the name of the show. It's not spelled the same. But if I say it, when this goes to YouTube or whatever, it's going to transcribe it as a different way, and it's going to hurt my algorithm. So, but I got to mention it because she won an Emmy and was cemented as a modern comedy icon. I don't know how that was the one that cemented her, because she's been doing it forever with like Christopher Guest doing like A Mighty Wind and Best in Show. She actually got her start with Second City in Toronto. She really did a lot of eccentric characters, kind of steeled some scenes with how absurd she could be, but yet believably absurd. And she was able to balance some worth and comedy and family values while you know, like in Home Alone. And then you compare that to like Beetlejuice, and she's like a completely, you know, different thing. And it's, you know, but just she was very, very much a mom in Home Alone. She really did a good job of that. And you compare that to, you know, like Olivia Dietz, like they, you see the really the contrast of how being a terrible mother she was as Olivia Dietz. So she became Moira Rose actually became a pop culture phenomenon. There was wigs, an accent and vocabulary that she had going on with that character. But Catherine O'Hara is one of those rare actors who can do a broad physical comedy and heartfelt, sincere sincerity equally well, which I've kind of was talking about. And actually, she's at the point where not, like three generations are going to recognize her now, because the 80s Beetlejuice fans, 90s Home Alone kids, and then all the modern audiences with the Creek. A comedy legend, really impeccable timing, very warm. She's really just crosses generations. And really had a great improvisational brilliance, and she was pretty well known for it. But won a Primetime Emmy, Golden Globe, Screen Actors Guild Award, all for playing Moira. So she just really did it all. Now, this is a big one. Robert Duvall from The Godfather and Godfather 2, playing Tom Hagen, Lieutenant Colonel Kilgore in Apocalypse Now, who made famous the line of, "I love the smell of napalm in the morning." Max Ledge in Tender Mercies, got an Academy Award for that. Boo Radley in To Kill a Mockingbird. Some of these I haven't seen. Apocalypse Now, I remember we did watch in high school as a thing. There's one that Philip would, this is his favorite, Augustus Gus McCrae in Lonesome Dove. Legendary performance, considered to be one of the greatest Western miniseries ever made. There were sequel series and stuff that just never quite lived up to it. It's very long, and I found it to be rather depressing, but it is a favorite for a lot of people. I know it's Philip's favorite Western, favorite movie, I think, overall. One of my favorites, though, that he was in, I mean, he was great in Days of Thunder, even. He was very funny. I think that's might be one of the earliest of his movies that I remember seeing in theaters. It was in Days of Thunder. I can't remember his character's name, but Hub McCann, though, in Secondhand Lions. If you've never seen this movie, it's a bit cheesy. It's him and Michael McCain, but it's a warm, adventurous, quietly powerful role. You know, it's really a cherished one. And you've probably seen online this wonderful clip where he's just sitting there eating and these young ruffians try to go and bully him. And he's got a great line about, "I fought in so many different wars and loved only one woman and everything, and I'm not going to put up with your kind of stuff." And he, you know, whoops some of these guys, and he's an old guy. But him and Michael Caine are in there, and Michael Caine's trying to ditch his English accent and everything. It is really a just fun movie, a great movie. And you think it's going to go one way because you're like, it's about this kid with these two old men. But oh my goodness, the stories. That's me sipping on a Wild Cherry Pepsi Zero. Let's see. Won some Academy Awards, of course, we mentioned, for Tender Mercies. Got nominated a lot. Got a Golden Globe and an Emmy. And really, he was one of the most respected actors in this new Hollywood era. Born in 1931, studied at the Neighborhood Playhouse in New York City alongside Dustin Hoffman and Gene Hackman, so other greats. He was known for understated, grounded performance. And really, like I said, the smell of napalm in the morning, that's one of the most quoted lines he's got. I can't think of any other lines other than a line I can't say here from Lonesome Tough that always kind of cracked me up when he was always talking to this one girl. He'd always ask her something. And I'm going to leave it alone. If you know, you know. Okay. But he was old school American acting. He was subtle, internal, yet powerful. And Tom Hagen's Exocet is one of the greatest supporting performances in cinema. But he's played lawmen, he's played criminals, country singers, generals. I mean, that's some range. But definitely one of the most respected. He just gravitas and authenticity. And yeah, he had 6 decades. So even your kids have probably seen him in something from just all kinds of different stuff. He's just got a legacy. And the more recent one that was kind of a surprise, except for, I guess, you know, he did talk about having cancer. But James Vanderbeek broke out in Dawson's Creek. That's where I remember first seeing him, as playing Dawson Leary in Dawson's Creek. I wasn't watching it for her. I was watching for Katie Holmes. She was adorable back then. And I did like the story. This was the same. It was Kevin Williamson, or is it Williams? The same guy who wrote Scream went and made this series. And I mean, to me, the first season was good. It was a different thing. But then, you know, when you get to seasons 2 and 3, that's when it becomes like just a teen drama. And I fell off of it. I was not really into that kind of thing. I did watch probably half of season 3, and like I watched season 2 and season 1 was good, but it was a drawn out will they, won't they kind of thing. It took for a while for Dawson to kind of really get a clue in that one. But yeah, but he's really known for that. And that's really that just defined the late '90s, early television, teen drama television. But I couldn't really get into, but he was a fixture on the WB with shows like Buffy and Felicity Going On. And he actually got a meme made out of him, which he leaned into the humor of it, this emotional crying meme that he had. And he could have resisted it, but he embraced it. And that's some self-awareness that helped extend his career. That was awesome. Varsity Blues, 1999. He played quarterback Jonathan Moxie in Varsity Blues. I didn't see that movie. It became a cult favorite sports drama and had the iconic line of, "I don't want your life." And he cemented himself as a late 90s teen leading man. And showed he could actually do a theatrical film with some edge. He actually got to play a parody of himself in Don't Trust the Bee in Apartment 23. Got some critical praise. He voiced and portrayed some characters in CSI Cyber. Appeared in Jay and Silent Bob Reboot, leaning into the meta humor. And really got himself, because he would parody his old teen heartthrob image, it really helped to give him some longevity. Faith-based film, What Would Jesus Do? Taking roles in smaller character-driven projects rather than chasing blockbuster fame, and frequently spoke about his faith and family in interviews. He actually competed in Dancing with the Stars in 2019, had a great humility and personality beyond scripted roles. He really did kind of, you know, he set things up for like teen drama in the 90s, and reclaiming that meme, it really did set up and everything to make him be a self-aware character. He really found ways to kind of keep it going and make himself, and just being himself and being a likable guy. I mean, he really defined things and did a lot of different stuff, and didn't always get recognized for everything he was doing, but just kept going and just kept being a decent guy. Okay, so I do want to remind you all about Podgagement. I'm unfortunately don't have my account with them anymore, but I do have affiliate links with them still. It's a great service. I just can't afford it right now because of, you know, my situation. But if you want to get your reviews from around the world, from all the different things sent to you, and have it a lot easier way than me having to put links for both Spotify and Apple out there for people to leave reviews, it is a lot of wonderful things you can do on that. It's Daniel J. Lewis, you know, he's an award-winning podcaster, and it's got a great service. So I do want to tell you about that. You'll find that, of course, at NeverlandPodcast.com. You'll find that link, too. And, of course, we want to thank Karen Kennedy, Ricky Pope of Christian Nerds Unite, and Darren Wilhite of the Will Height and Wall Show for helping me out with the introduction. Don't forget to email us, podcast@NeverlandPodcast.com. You can find us on X at NeverlandPcast. I should probably list on here that, yes, I do have an Instagram and a TikTok account. I'm putting some videos and some clips of old shows in there. If you basically look for The Spider Pan, you'll probably find me there. And it's probably got to be under the, because some other people have tried to take Spider-Pan from me, but I am the Spider-Pan. We are on Facebook. You can look for the Fandom Nexus, or you can look for the Neverland Podcast. Either way, you'll find both. There's a group and a fan page that you can just simply like. But I do more stuff in the group page because there's a chance for more interaction there. So definitely do that. The group's Neverland Podcast. Also on YouTube, I have become the Fandom Gamer on YouTube instead of just the official Neverland podcast or official Neverland gaming channel. It was too complicated. So I've got a new logo. It's the Fandom Gamer, and I'm posting videos. I got some stuff going this week where I was posting up some demos. I had a bunch of demos. I was cleaning off my system. I was playing all those. And I am recording video and plan to share some video of me playing Jedi Survivor. So that'll be coming up pretty soon. And of course, don't forget to join the Neverlanders there on the website. You can become official Lost Boy or Pixie. Why a Pixie? Because girls are too clever and they don't get lost. But you choose yourself a nickname based upon something, because every Lost Boy or Pixie has to have a nickname. That's just how it is. Toodles, you know, Toodles and Thud Butt. All, you know, the ones you saw in Hook and even the ones you would see on the animated or read them in the book. You know, we got a nickname. That's how I'm the Spider Pan, because I am the Pan, the head Lost Boy. But I'm a Spider-Man fan. See how that works? Just in case you didn't know. But if this has been a great part of your life over the last 12 years and you want to help keeping this growing, make sure you join our Patreon, because even just $5 a month helps keep the lights on, keep us growing towards the builder projects. No copyright infringement is intended, and copyright is held by their respective owners. Content is shared for review and commentary purposes under fair use license. After all, when I play trailers, I'm basically advertising for the movie, but I'm sharing also my opinion whether I'm excited. But today, it was basically me being excited pretty much for everything I was sharing, for stuff coming up this year. There's some fun stuff in the future. But now, as we say at the end of every episode, get lost in an adventure, and I will see you very soon. See you next time.
If you're a podcast host, listen up. This one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity, and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.